Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Come on, give it up for all those joining with us online right now. Yeah. Grab your copy of God's Word and say this with me. Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word, and I'll receive God's Word, and I will obey God's Word, because I love His Word. Now go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are so lucky you get to sit next to somebody as good looking as me. I mean it. So blessed. So incredibly blessed. We're talking about relationships, and specifically today we're going to talk about resolving conflict or resolving relationship conflict. And you can get closer. Come on, you can get real close here. We love each other. Let me start by saying this, that I feel that I have compiled a list of 9 gadgets that should be invented to help couples save their marriages. They're not, as far as I know, they haven't been created yet, but I feel like they should be. And so here's these, what I would say is top 9 gadgets that I feel need to be invented. First one is, under the heading of communication, is an app that automatically knows all of your family's birthdays, celebrations, and will keep on ringing until you buy them a gift. I think that's one relationship gadget that should be created. Another one is a warning light that goes off on your phone every time you get ready to answer your spouse with a bad answer, with something stupid. And I think the second half of that gadget should be a reverse button that you press that turns back time after you said something stupid. I think they're just so important, a gadget made. But an app, here's another one, is an app I think that you could press a button that decides who wins the argument. Right? Like you hit the button and it's like, Mark had a very valid point. You know what I mean? Like that would be a great app to have. Now, in the bedroom, I think needs to be an alarm clock that only wakes up one person instead of both. The other would be a blanket they make a blanket that's so long that when you sleep, neither of you runs out of blanket. I don't know why we can't make a blanket big enough. I think they should build an invisible electric fence that keeps both of you on your side of the bed. I'm just saying, that's just another important one. My wife would probably agree with this one, that we need to come up with a gadget that you press one button and it mutes all snoring. I just feel like that could be a winner. Thank you. Yes, yes, thank you. But the last and certainly not least, it belongs really, this one, in the bathroom, and it's a toilet seat that automatically goes back down every time. I'm just saying, though, that could save.
That's right. All the women said.
It could just save marriages, I feel like. I don't know. So you brilliant people out there, if you'll create that and design it, I guarantee you'll make a fortune this year on Valentine's, you know.
Well, speaking of Valentine's, what do you guys do know that Thursday is? Valentine's Day.
Yes,
just want to throw that out again to all the men in the house and the women. Valentine's is Thursday. And have you ever wondered why we celebrate Valentine's or where it came from? It was named after in honor of Saint Valentine. Let me tell you a quick story about him. Claudius II put out a decree that prohibited marriage because he felt that unmarried soldiers fought better than married soldiers, because married soldiers might be more concerned about their wives or more concerned about their families if they died. So Saint Valentine, who was a Catholic priest, believed in the sanctity of the Christian marriage, and he continued to marry in the church, even though the decree was do not do it. So Valentine was eventually caught doing this, marrying the Christian couples. He was imprisoned and tortured for performing marriage ceremonies against the command of the Emperor Claudius II. In the year 269 AD, Valentine was sentenced to a 3-part execution of a beating, stoning, And finally, a decapitation. I don't know why I just did that, but anyways, decapitation. All because of his stand for Christian marriage. So there you go. Now you know. But don't forget that this Thursday is Valentine's Day, okay?
Please don't forget. I promise you.
I will tell you, not
a good thing.
I have kind of a love-hate thing with Valentine's Day. Love it because I've had the same Valentine and the awesome Valentine for 25 years. Actually, more than 25 years because we dated 3 years before that. So for 28 years, we've had the opportunity to celebrate Valentine's. And we take that time to do that because it's just another opportunity to romance your spouse, romance your girlfriend, boyfriend. But the hate thing that I deal with, and it's more love because you outshine it than the hate. But the
Thank you.
The bad memories that are embedded in me about Valentine's Day come from my family growing up in Mississippi. My family owned, our business was a flower shop, okay? And I always knew, and Trina, you could probably relate to this because she works in a flower shop at Valentine's Day. That week of Valentine's, I just remember growing up, my parents were so stressed out because it was a very busy holiday. But when I was little, we would have to stay later at the babysitters because they were out doing, you know, deliveries and making flower bouquets and roses. But when I got older, I had to work in the flower shop myself. And I can tell you how many phone conversations that I heard that went sort of like this from my dad or my mom. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. We are out of flowers because we're just booked full and we don't have any more slots that we can deliver. Yes, sir. I do realize it's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is the same day every year, February 14th. I'm sorry that you waited to the last minute. Yes, I'm sorry, sir, that your wife is going to get mad at you. Yes, I'm sorry that you're going to have to sleep on the couch. Sir, please stop using that kind of language. Okay, sir, I'm going to hang up now. So, it was all full of stress and tension, but let me tell you something. Men, sir, do not wait. If you want your flowers delivered, please make a note right now. Call tomorrow to your local flower shop.
That's right.
And put in that order. Don't wait to the last minute because Valentine's Day is always on February 14th.
That's right.
All right. Now, that's not spiritual advice at all for you.
Yes, it is.
But you may.
Yes, it is.
But you may thank me for that nugget today.
Or what you could do is just marry a lady who grew up with parents that owned a flower shop, and then you don't have to ever buy flowers ever again. That's really the way it is in our house. Buying flowers from me to her would put her in a fetal position in a corner somewhere. So I'm just saying, I really lucked out there. But now here's what I can say about this. Whenever we start any kind of series like this, especially around Valentine's Day, I can always feel it from anybody that's single, either by choice or by situation. I can just feel it in the room. It's like, ah, one more time. Somebody else is reminding me I don't have a Valentine, whatever else. Listen, what we're about to talk about today, I promise you, will help you in any area of life. Whether it's a future, you know, a future relationship that has to do, you know, a romance relationship, or even in business, if you're a business owner or in relationships with your parents or parents to children or coworkers, I'm telling you, what we're about to share with you is going to help you in every walk of life. So don't tune us out, those of you that are single in the house. But if you would turn to Mark chapter 3 and let's look at this. Here's where it starts and ends right here. Every relationship deals with some level of conflict. And we want to help you resolve that conflict right now to teach you some of the relationship skills. Mark chapter 3, verse 25.
Yes, a home filled with strife and division destroys itself.
Okay, so I can just tell you, before we got married, a friend of mine shared with me the three main reasons why there's conflict in marriages, and that was communication, intimacy, and money. Those three areas, okay? And we can't deal with every area. We'd spend the rest of our year trying to help you navigate every specific situation, although this Wednesday we're going to cover a lot of those three areas and some of the pitfalls. But I will say this, out of all of them, communication seems to be in the gap of the other two, finance and intimacy. It almost always surrounds some form of communication issue. And so we want to go through with you a few of those areas today. How many of you'd say you were taught conflict resolution in your homes? Come on, put up your hands. Okay, like zero, like one, maybe two, honestly. But the fact is, do you know what? All of us could raise our hand right now to that because all of us were taught some form of conflict resolution, whether you knew it or not. You might have learned it through fighting, learned it through watching your parents argue. You might have learned it through, you know, some sit down together. You might have learned it in church with some sort of scripture reading of some kind. You learned it somehow, some way. You might have learned it watching, you know, television or some kind of, relationship issue on TV, but you learned it somewhere. And you bring with you into your marriage an expectation about communication somewhere that we want to deal with. And I can tell you the number one cause of conflict. So let's start there. Write this down. The cause of all conflict. You ready? It's not the other person. It's selfishness. Selfishness inside of you. That's the cause of all conflict. James chapter 4 describes it.
What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it.
So that's really all it comes down to. I want what I want. You want what you want. Who's going to win? Who's going to get first place? Who's going to get first chair in the discussion? Because we want, it's competing and differing ideas or desires. And I would say that's why they created this thing called the sleep number bed. We have one. Yes. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, this be a format to discuss, beds and which one is the right one, you know. But I can just tell you that particular thing for us was a saving grace because she would rather sleep just on a flat rock. I mean, seriously, just no cushion whatsoever. And so her number's 100, mine's 25. I'm just saying.
And that is really true. And if I go too far over, I just roll on over into his 25.
And then, no, I'm not going to say I appreciate that sleep number bed and the reason why I would appreciate that sleep number bed. Sometimes I just put it on zero just to have her roll over. Anyway, that's another, I will not go any further than that. But anyway, they make this dual control for heating blanket over on the beds where, you know, if you want one side heated up to number 10, one side to zero. They even have now in your vehicles, some of these vehicles, dual control, temperature control, where one side could be at 90 and the other could be at 60. And you know why they do that? Because of our conflict. And the fight of, it's too cold in the car, it's too hot in the car. Well, you just turn your side up, I'll turn my side down. I'm telling you, here's how all marriages start. It's the happy honeymooners. And then on to stage two, the party's over. And then finally to stage three, let's make a deal. Right? And I've heard it said like this, you know, they said, a guy came to me, said, yeah, our marriage is like a beef stew. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I beef and she stews. You know, that's their marriage. Now, we tried this last week, and I just want to use this one a couple of times maybe today. We had something called the Kiss Cam. Worked very, very well, but none of you are exempt potentially today from this opportunity that if you see your face go up on that screen, something special needs to take place. A little kiss, just a little something, just sweet. This is Valentine's Day. We're trying to promote this. So if you have a beef stew relationship, the next face that goes up on the screen might have been a beef stew relationship. Right? Can we do kiss cam? Just one, come on. Let's show kiss cam just at least once. Now. Now, Now, I promise I didn't set that one up. I promise,
yeah, I promise. Yeah.
We should do Kiss Cam one more time. I'm just saying, no.
All right, so how do you react to conflict? When I read these, I want you to... What is that for?
Just trying to calm me down,
yes.
You know.
How do you react to conflict? And it's like he said, you may not have been taught, sat down and taught conflict resolution, but this is... you did learn conflict resolution by watching maybe your parents or how your family reacted to conflict. The first one is my way. And I want you, as I read these, I want you to think about where you fall in this. The first one is my way. This is when I fight until I win. I have to be the winner. I am always right. Then there's no way. I avoid conflict. We just won't talk about it. I'll stuff it down and avoid it. There's your way. I always give in. I'm the doormat. I'm the victim. I can never do anything right. It's your way. The next one is halfway. You give in half the time and I'll give in half the time. We'll so compromise. But then I remembered that I gave in the last time. And so you know where that goes. And the last one, which is the one that we, our goal here, is our way. This is mutual goals. This is where real harmony comes in. And I'm not really a musician or a singer or anything, but just looking up the word even harmony, two parts in unison and agreement, the combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords that have a pleasing effect. And I know all of you who are musicians are like, yeah, whatever, but... there you go. So
my voice is a sweet sound to you.
Okay. So then that's our goal is to come into agreement together to bring resolve. How to resolve conflicts. And we're going to give you today 7 steps. And I wish I could sit up here and tell you that we have always done these.
Wait a minute. We're not going to tell them that?
No, we're not. Well, this is us.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
We have not always done this. And I can tell you that even though we know these work, that we don't always do that. We don't always operate on all of these because we are human.
Yeah.
And I want my way and you want your way. And that's just life. But I promise you that these simple steps can make all the difference in your relationships, your marriage. Number one is to become a believer. And we're going to talk in depth about all of these. Number one, become a believer. Number two, talk to God about the conflict. Number three, analyze the problem. Number four, schedule a peace talk. Establish ground rules. Switch your focus. Ask for advice. And again, we're not sitting up here saying we have it all together. But we know that these do work. I know that there are some of you out there today that your marriage is really struggling. Mm. And you're really hurting today.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this, that God wants to empower you to overcome these struggles.
Yeah.
To overcome these hurdles, this conflict. He wants to empower you. You know, our God never asks us to do something that he doesn't equip us to do.
That's
it.
Right.
He's not going to ask us to walk something out and be obedient in areas if he does not give us the tools and the resources and empower us to do it. So today, we just want to say that God wants to do a work in your marriage and open your heart up to what the Lord is saying through these steps.
Yeah.
And let me say another thing about conflict resolution, and I do realize that the next 2 Sundays, I think, if we get there, we're going to be talking more about family and parenting. But our kids, parents, we need to be teaching them conflict resolution.
Right.
How to talk, how to resolve conflict. You know what? They know a lot of this.
Yeah.
And to resolve conflict, they just unfollow, they delete. They know how to have a text message, but they don't know how to have a conversation and to resolve conflict.
Yeah. So one of those things that I'll say about that is it's interesting. We've come into an era where people get together and break up over the phone.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they don't even talk to each other, communicating, you know, a breakup, even if it was like for a while they've been dating. All of a sudden, they'll just text, you know, the reason why they're breaking up. So there comes a place in marriage where now you're looking at each other face to face, and you have to know how to communicate. The first one is most basic to all believers. We understand this is become a believer. Number one's got to be that. Look, there's no peace inside yourself when you have no peace with God. And if you got no peace within yourself because you've got no peace with God, guess what? You're not going to have peace with others around you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 describes this.
As parts of the same body, our anger against each other has disappeared, for both of us have been reconciled to God, and so the feud has ended at the cross.
It's got to start at the cross. Friends, can I tell you, the start of the end of every conflict, I should say, is when you say, instead of, I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, it's, God, what do you want me to do? Do you know that's where it begins? We're at war with God before that point. Right. We're saying, God, I'm the boss of the universe. I'm the boss of my own life. But the minute you say yes to Jesus, guess what? You are not your own. The Bible says you're bought with a price. The Bible says that you are his and that he is yours. And so until you settle that issue, I think most marriage conflicts could be solved literally overnight if both of them got on their knees and asked the Lord to say, Lord, what is your way? Not my way. Like Jesus did at Gethsemane, right before he went to the cross, he said, not my will, but yours be done. If both couples, both parties, if Jesus is in her and Jesus is in me, Jesus is not going to fight with himself. Right? And if she is representing Christ and I am representing Christ, the closer we get to him, guess what happens? It's like when I ask the Lord to come into my life and I really desperately want him. I'm not saying that all the desires of my own heart just diminish or go away. But he fills us with things like the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you know when you have those things operating in your life, it's hard to fight. It just is.
And let me just add this to that, because there have been times that we've been really heated with one another.
No, there haven't.
Yes, there has.
No, there hasn't.
Yes, there has. But
I'm just kidding.
I can't tell you. You know, no, in the midst of that, we don't. If you're mad and you're ticked, you don't want to pray. Okay, let's just be honest.
Right.
But there's been many, many times that one of us has said, in the midst of us being really heated, say, let's pray. One of us may not want to, but we do. But you would be surprised how your heart softens. And even though you might just stand there and not even be in agreement, you just let them pray. You know that you are accountable to the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's usually when I say, you know, we need to pray about you.
Yes,
that's
right.
when it all goes awry,
yes,
right there.
Yes. And we don't do that all the time, but yeah. Anyways.
So when you talk about your rights versus his right to as the master, right? As Lord. Isn't that what Lord means? To be the Lord of your life means to be the master. Let's look at number two. The second thing is what she just said. Talk to God about the problem. You got to pray about these things. Listen, sometimes the two of us, we need to separate and go to God on our own. Instead of immediately talking to each other, or worse yet, going to talk to somebody else about that person, first going to God and praying. James chapter 4 says this.
It says, you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you don't ask God.
Do you know that sometimes I have, and I'll say it the way that I felt it in my spirit when God showed me this, there have been times where I was unintentionally practicing idolatry when I thought that she was supposed to fulfill every need of my heart and my life, when in reality only God can fulfill every need and desire in my life. And I was making her out to be God in my life because I was expecting her to do something that was impossible, to do what only God could do, to fill my heart, my life. Now, we can come up with the romantic comedy, you complete me. And that sounds great and that sounds wonderful, but I've met couples that literally, they are half a person. Two halves, in that case, do not make a whole. Makes a whole lot of mess is what it makes. The only one that can that really completes you is God, your creator. And so if you look to your mate, now there are some things that if God, listen, if God were the only thing you needed in life, he wouldn't have created Eve in the garden. Adam had in the garden, in the beginning of creation, Adam had the animals, all the plants, all the food, it, living in a perfect environment, and he walked with God in the cool of the day. If that's all that Adam needed, God would have never created Eve. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. He needed relationship, and so we need each other. Yes, I need things. Michelle needs things. We need friendships, absolutely. And I found there are certain things that I have looked to for my wife early on in marriage that what I was looking for, I needed in a guy friend. And there was same thing with her. There were certain times where she was looking to me to be a friend that's a girl, right? But there's certain things we needed from friendships, relationships. Now, I want to say this as it relates to talking to God. I have heard people say, especially singles, if I could only get married, then all my needs would be met. Do you hear that little snicker? You know who that's coming from? Married people. I'm just telling you. That snicker of approval simply means this. We need each other. But we need God's help. And we need to talk to God about... And I will say it like this. If ever there was a warning light on the dashboard of your life, when you start to think, I need, and you're looking to others to fulfill that need, you want to know when you know how you know that you're trying to look to others to meet your needs or all your needs, is when you have this warning light called anger. When anger pops up in your life, more often than not, it's the dashboard of your life, the warning light going off, saying you're looking to somebody else to meet your needs other than God. So let's look at the third thing. Not only becoming a believer and talking to God about the problem, but then analyzing the problem and not the person. This is so difficult. You got to ask yourself, how much is my fault? Before you attack and accuse and blame, you got to check yourself. Matthew chapter 7 gives us a picture of this.
It says, why do you look at the speck in another's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? Take the log out of your own eye first. Then you'll be able to see to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
What's Jesus saying there?
Your husband's
eye. Right? Did you say my husband? I thought you said my husband. I was just checking. What is Jesus trying to say there? He's saying you got a telephone pole sticking out of your eye trying to tell your spouse where they've made a mistake. And what he's saying is there have been times that you've been oversensitive or insensitive or insecure or demanding or unrealistic or ungrateful. In some, can I tell you, we have had arguments over the stupidest things. But there have been other times where I have been completely insensitive. I'm going to be honest. I have what I would call selective hearing. It is a disease that I feel most men have in this particular area, especially those men that have kids. If you have children in the house, especially small children, I don't know what happens. If there was a burglar that tried to break in our house, listen, I can prove this. There was a time where there was a scratching at our window from a branch outside because the wind was blowing. I jumped up like a superhero, ready to fight whoever.
He was like a ninja.
I mean, whoever was coming in the door, I am taking you down. But if one of our children had just thrown up at night, I don't know what happened.
He does it.
I wake up the next morning. Yeah. Michelle is saying that she tried to wake me up in the middle of the night. I don't know. She tells me that she's told our children when they have woken her up in the middle of the night after having thrown up or whatever it was, I feel sick. What do you say to them?
I'm like, I will give you ice cream all tomorrow if you go wake your daddy up. But not really.
Now, I can tell you I'm not at times the most, I am insensitive in these ways. I do not notice hair and nails. I just don't. My wife's nails look beautiful all the time. Her hair looks beautiful all the time. I just do not notice. So I have found, and she's had probably, 30 different styles throughout our marriage. She has come home she's had long hair, and then she's come home with short hair, and I did not say a word. There has been times where she has come, she's had curly hair, and she came home with completely straight hair, and I said nothing. You want to know why? Because I know how beautiful she is, so much so that no matter what hairstyle she has, all I can see is her beautiful eyes.
All right. All right.
At least that's what I've told her. Stupid things like I've missed. Listen, now I can say honestly, there was a time I did not miss Mother's Day. I didn't miss it. But I can say honestly, I almost missed it. And she could tell because it was when our daughter was first born. Our son had not yet been born. So our daughter was not old enough to be in like a Sunday school or kindergarten class that would have drawn pictures that said Happy Mother's Day the week before. Reminders to me, some of those reminders that you get as parents, you know, some of you dads in the room, you know, you thank God for kindergarten teachers that like the Friday before colored things saying Happy Mother's Day. Thank God for that. But I showed up, it was Sunday morning, I was headed to church early before my wife. I went in because I was a youth pastor. I went in to buy a bunch of candy for the kids' junior high at Walgreens. And I walked in and I realized Mother's Day. There it is, black, right there in front of me.
And I knew he had forgotten. So by the way,
the reason that she knew was because if you've ever been to Walgreens on Sunday morning, Mother's Day, all the cards are picked over. Everything that was meaningful that could have been said would have been said. And I gave her a card that literally, I don't even know what it said, but it didn't have anything to do with our relationship.
I've forgiven you, so I don't remember.
Thank you. That's what I was hoping to hear. Mm-hmm. I just thank God I'm a pastor now because I have to look at a calendar all the time to remind myself. But I think we need to do a kiss cam. Yes, I just feel like we need to do at this point, not for us, but somebody else needs to have the, let's do kiss cam. Come on, somebody. Oh, so sweet, yes. Oh, thank God for the kiss cam.
Conflict in relationships. You know, you would think that after 25 years almost that I would know, I do. I know your red buttons, you know mine. And that you would think, though, that when you're young and you're married and you're still trying to find who you are and who you are as couples, you fight over stupid things.
Right.
Right? In the light of eternity, right, Mom? What does these things matter? But, you know, just recently, honestly, it was just a few weeks ago.
Now, this is raw right here. Yeah. We might even have to edit this one out.
If I told you what we got into an argument about, you would say to your neighbor, and these people are leading our church. these people are pastors.
Now, see, you can't set them up like that without telling them, because you got to at least say what it was. Otherwise, they're going to think, dear Lord, what is she saying?
Well, I'm going to, you really think I should tell them?
Yeah, well, you should tell at least something, dear Lord.
So we were.
That would scare me.
Well, so we were at Barbarito's eating one evening. Y'all know the little taco place that we go there often. And so we order and we're eating, and I had more chips left that I didn't have any more dip. And I looked over at his plate and he had still some beans and rice and chicken. So I thought, well, I'll finish these four or five chips out and I'll just get a little bit off of his plate. Well, most of you know that, first of all, I guess men in general do not like for women to eat off of their plates. I don't get it. I'm a mom, I guess, because I'm used to sharing my food all the time. I grew up with all sisters. I don't get it. Never have gotten it.
Men in the room, can you just attest to this fact? Yeah. Look around. Look, I'm just saying.
There's been times where we're at the restaurant. I don't want to order a full dessert, but I want him to order it and me to take a few bites.
Jesus, take the wheel.
He does not want that at all.
Just saying.
Okay, so we're at Barbara. It's just us two. We're talking about everything. He's talking. I'm thinking. In my mind, I know he doesn't like this, but I really want to scoop my chip right now. Mm-hmm. And so I did it. And he's talking.
She didn't say anything like, hey, could I have none of that? No.
So, okay. Wait a minute. I'm talking.
This is happening real life.
So I scoop my chip and he's talking. Well, he stops talking. And I wish that I could literally give the look that he gave me. No, wait a minute. Wait. That does not do justice. And so he gave me that look. No words, just that look. And I got fired up. I said, I can't believe that you're giving me that look right now. And he said, that's not a bad look. That's a stunned look. I am stunned that you would do
it
that.
It was. I wasn't.
Now, hold on.
I can't. She said I was
so
burning holes in her.
That look,
I just said I was stunned. That's all I could say.
Here we are in Barbaritos, right? I said, no, that look is a look like you want to kill me. And he's like, it's a stunned look. And because you know that I don't like that. And I mean, you already had your food and you already had. So literally it went from there to, I don't even know what we were saying, but I was so fired up. He was fired up. We get in the car. It's about 7 minutes, 10 minutes if the lights, red to our house. 10 minutes. We're talking, saying stuff, and he's like, you're so dramatic. I'm like, I'm not dramatic. I wanted that. You're getting all of this. You're getting ticked off over a grain of rice, a bean, and a piece of chicken. And he's like, yes, just disrespectful. I could go on and on and tell you. And he's like, you are so dramatic. So we finally were in the garage, and I'm like, I'm dramatic. I'm going to tell you what dramatic is. So I get out of the car, slam the car door, go inside, go into the bedroom. And literally for the rest of the night, we didn't talk. We didn't say anything. And I know what some of you may be thinking. You're like, oh, well, what about don't let the sun go down on your wrath? Well, first of all, let me just tell you something, church. The sun was already down when this already started happening. And the second thing
that
is, yes,
right there.
Okay, we know the scriptures. We know it. But you know what? This is us and this is life. We don't always do the right thing.
Oh.
So I was furious and ticked off. I mean, firing mad. And, I know that men do not like us to eat off of their plate. I don't understand it. But I could have the next day, honestly, I was laying in the bed when my alarm went off. And I'm like, this was the stupidest thing. Like, we just totally went to bed so angry, so fired up. Words flew around that we can't take back, all over some chips and a dip. Now, I'm thinking, I do know that I've talked to other men. They don't like us to eat off their plate. So I had a choice right then to either think, because I still don't get it. Okay, I will share my food with anybody. I don't understand it. So I could either do a feminist march about it and say how wrong.
I'm just glad she's not dramatic. I'm just thankful.
Or I could just say, you know what? That's something that he does not like. And I know that after 25, 27, 28 years, I know this. But at the time, I didn't care because I wanted what I wanted. Now, I know that that's a silly example, but it will show you that you can go from nothing to extreme because you want what you want. And I also know, and I can feel the judgment in this room right now. And I know what you're thinking. I know exactly. And let me just tell you how wrong you are.
Ooh.
You are thinking, no wonder our pastor is so lean. She's eating all this food. But we did. I know. I'm dragging this out. But really, that's a small thing that turned into a huge thing. But I had to ask myself, why did I get so angry? Was I going to starve because I didn't have that? No. The root of why I was angry with him, because it hurt my feelings.
Right.
It hurt my feelings the way his stunned look. And I've already forgiven you, so I'm not coming back. I'm not trying to, yeah.
You sure?
But I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm getting really. The stunned look, whatever. But we both apologized. He's like, I know that's me being selfish. It's just one of my things. And so we, made up. But I think about all the times that we've had arguments or disagreements, and we wasted all of that energy.
Right.
We wasted all of that time. Because the enemy does not like unity in marriage.
That's right.
So many times we are A lot of times we are fighting the wrong person in our marriage. Because what does the word say? Our battle is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
But it's an enemy that wants to bring disunity, and we're letting the little things turn into big things. I'm not saying there are not big things, because there are.
Sure.
And we need to know how to resolve those. But when most of the time, and like you say, Mom Benson says, in the light of eternity, what does it matter? I have a saying, and I say it all the time, like, there are people dying and going to hell, and we're arguing over chips and beans and rice. I mean, seriously, it's perspective of it.
Yeah.
So there you go. This is us.
This is us.
This is us.
This is us. This is us. 1 John 1:8 is important when it comes to explaining why we struggle. And yes. If you read that.
If we say we have not sinned, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
See, when we keep going, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. If I would have seen that that behind my wife's frustration was hurt, it could have gone a different direction. If she would have seen that I saw something that, hey, you knew that I don't like this, but you did it anyway. So really behind all of it, in some ways, I'm not saying it was like, oh, it was such a hurtful thing. But behind both of it, it was hurt in some way. And most conflict often comes from that hurt. Now, behind the hurt might be selfishness. But for some of us, we need to recognize that sensitivity. Looking at things. Look, do you know what? That was not her problem. That was not my problem. We are married. The two became one. Do you know what? That was our problem. And it's always going to be our problem. Problem, because the Bible says we got to watch out for each other, encourage each other, love each other, pray for each other. Number four, here's what we did. We scheduled a peace talk. Schedule a peace talk. Sit down deliberately, intentionally. Conflict doesn't get resolved by accident, typically. You got to schedule it when the tensions are lowered, when we can be humble and sensitive, we can face it. And I used to overdo this, and I shared this last week. I used to overdo this by, we got to meet, and we got to meet right now. But sometimes you do need to separate for a short time to let the Lord get you to a place of sensitivity and vulnerability, and then talk about it. And I found it like this too. You either face it or you let it go. Right. You can't hold on to it. Matthew 5 says it like this in verse 22.
If you remember, your brother has, am I on the right one? Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. If you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go at once to make peace. And then come back and offer your gift to God.
So when you think about that, you're talking about in a moment of worship, in the height of worship, you sense God reminding you of something that you've done wrong to somebody else or that somebody's done wrong to you. The Bible says unity is so important to God that he wants you to make it right away.
That's right. And you know, the arguments, the disagreements, the tension is going to happen right before you come to church.
Yes.
Right?
That's
most
right.
Of the time. It's going to happen. I have a friend that I went to college with, and she's in ministry, full-time ministry. She's an Italian girl, and she's from a family who is all Italian. Both parents are full Italian, and she says that even them having a regular conversation, they seem intense because they're very loud and very intense. And she tells this story about one day before church, they had got into an argument and it got heated and they were loud and the kids were just kind of they knew not to even say anything to set either one of them off. And it's funny because she describes her mom, just picture this, and she looked just like Judge Judy. You know who Judge Judy is? Okay. I like Judge Judy, but I want Judge Judy on my side.
Yeah, right?
Right. So she's saying they went into church, they drove all the way to church, and the kids are in the back seat, and the mom and dad are at each other, just red-faced, so angry. I don't even know what they were arguing about, but just arguing all the way to church until they drove up into the parking lot. They walk into the sanctuary, sit by each other, close to the front row. Worship starts, And Judge Judy just starts worshiping like no tomorrow, worshiping God, just worshiping. And her dad was sitting there with his arms closed the whole time. And after church, she said in the car that her dad said, "How could you worship like that? We're yelling at each other. We didn't resolve this." And she's like, "Well, I mean, I was mad at you, not him."
Yes, you deserve the glory, Lord, not us, not us. When we talk about taking the initiative to make it right, don't delay and don't ignore. Yeah. Don't delay it, meaning wait too long, and don't ignore it, acting like it's just going to go away. And I would say, you know, 1 Peter talks about that disharmony hinders even our prayer times. Right. And I don't think it's that God looks down at us and says, "You are such a bad person." What I think is our heart is so divided by that conflict and by trying to connect with God. And so I would encourage you, two quick things is, not in your notes, but find the right place and the right time to have those peace talks, right? The right place physically, where it's away from the kids, the telephone, be alert. Don't argue in bed. You know, that's just not a good place for that. And then the right place emotionally and spiritually to resolve and compromise and reconcile. Having that heart to coming to that moment of peace, saying we want to find a place of unity. The fifth one is this: establish ground rules. Establish ground rules. Our president mentioned during his speech as a State of the Union address, there was an issue of conflict between us and Russia over the arms race going back years and years ago related to a treaty. Those peace treaties, what they are is they put a ban on certain weapons that they are not to be used against the other nation. And the ban on those does not mean that we are in perfect unity with Russia and its morals and its governmental standards and its stance on certain things. It just says we won't use these weapons. Can I just say the same thing is true for marriage? It doesn't mean you're going to see eye to eye on every little detail of life, but you're choosing to put a ban on certain weapons that might be used, those deadly verbal expressions. Colossians 3:8 gives us about four of them. Go ahead and read that if you would.
You must give up these things: being bad-tempered, spitefulness, abusive language, and dirty talk, and never tell each other lies.
So basically what he's saying is attack the issue, not each other. Argue without assassinating. You can disagree without being disagreeable all the time. And each one of those individually are lists: being bad-tempered, short-fused, impatient, yelling, spitefulness, like intentionally pushing the hot buttons, right? Or abusive language, throwing obscenity around, using a foul mouth. It takes a small person to belittle their spouse that way. And then finally, just being truthful. And I say this carefully: the truth in love. And then number six is shift your focus. Shift your focus. We got to shift our focus from our own needs to their needs. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5.
Don't be selfish. We both need to grow up. Mm. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too. Your attitude should be like Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights.
So we're talking about these negative or positive images that we get in our mind. Do you know, let's go back to our scenario where we were in a disagreement about the chips and dip, the silliness of it. Do you know, after that disagreement, both of us had the opportunity to let our emotions and our minds spiral in a negative or a positive way? The negative way would be, he's always selfish. She's always selfish. She's always doing this. He's always doing this. Do you know the word always and never should just be taken out of the vocabulary when it comes to relationships? No one always and no one never. That's just hyperbole. That's just trying to make something bigger than it is. And the enemy will use your mind to start shifting that negative spiral down about that person, rather than saying all these amazing things. This woman is godly. She's wonderful. She's awesome. Such an amazing wife to me. How she takes care of me, takes care of the kids in so many ways is unbelievable. Who cares about a chip and a dip? You know what I mean? That's the positive spiral. And so we need to use that time to focus on that. Number seven, and Pastor Adam, if you'd come as we close out, is simply this: ask for advice. I know some of you in this room, you're like, oh, look, I don't want anybody to know my stuff. And I understand that. That's why we created anonymity around these questions. Basically, you know what Wednesday is? It's a free counseling session with every one of our pastors. That's really what it is. We all need a refresher course in some form or fashion. The biblical counsel, the biblical advice. But friends, we don't want you to struggle alone, feeling so alone and so isolated. And I realize and especially in the South, I can say this, you know, having been in the South now for 12 years, it is said about the South more often than the North. The North is kind of known for, we say it like it is. We're going, you know, and they come off in some ways to be rude. But in the South, there's lots of, you know, hospitality and, you know, drink sweet tea. But there's this idea that they'll drink sweet tea and be sweet to you to your face, but they won't tell you really how they think about you until they talk to somebody else about you. And that needs to stop. Never in this congregation should it ever be said, in a small group or in a connection where we're having accountability with one another, that somebody else told somebody else something about that private conversation. Friends, how can we pray together if we can't trust each other? How can we build each other up if we have nowhere to go? Who can we turn to if we can't turn to the body of Christ? Turning to one another in prayer and in counsel. And we believe in Christian counseling. Matter of fact, my wife if you'll talk about that briefly, because I know we...
Well, what we put together, and we have more resources than this, but I know a lot of times we talk about Christian counselors and Christian counseling and getting help for whatever issues that you're dealing with. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
But to actually follow through with it, I know sometimes can be hard until the next time you're in a disagreement or you're in a struggle. So what we've done for you is we've put together just this card, and it's out there on the information booth that you can just grab, and it's some resources, some Christian counseling to help you and help your marriage succeed, to help you through this.
Yeah, so. And we're ready to be, if you need to reach out to us, you know, as a church in some form or fashion. Proverbs 15 says it like this: conceited people don't like to be corrected. They never ask for advice. You know what's weird? We go to other people to ask them advice about everything else. You got a tax problem? You're going to go to H&R Block or somewhere to ask them. You got a problem with your finances? You're going to go find a CPA. If you have a problem legally, you're going to go to an attorney, ask them about. You got a physical problem? You're going to run to the doctor, ask for advice. It is so stupid of us to think that out of all those problems that we might have in life, that we'd immediately run without question to somebody else and ask for advice, but we wouldn't ask advice about our own relationships. And, you know, again, just knowing that you've got somewhere to turn, you'd say, well, you know, I don't want anybody to know my business. Can I just say it like this? Do you want to pretend you've got a good marriage, or do you want to have one? Because you're really not fooling yourself. You're certainly not fooling your spouse, and you're not fooling God. It takes courage and maturity to see where you need help. And the bottom line is, do you really want to have a satisfying relationship? Because it's more rewarding, takes a lot of effort, but it's more rewarding to resolve a conflict than to run from it. Because it's a guarantee, somehow, some way, it's always going to come back to us in some form or fashion. And that brings me back to point one, which is this: making peace with God. It all starts and ends with this one word: forgiveness. God showed us how to deal with conflict. It begins with forgiveness. Matter of fact, it begins and ends with that one word. Write it down: forgiveness. Today, in this house, we're going to help you learn about forgiveness this evening. At 6 p.m., we're going to go back through this this series called The Bait of Satan, which is really not just about church hurts in the church or wounds from the past with parents. It has a lot to do with conflict resolution and issues within spouses and in marriages. And we're going to talk about that tonight to help you, to give you the tools. Listen, sometimes the reason why you struggle is because you just don't have the tools, the resources. We want to give you the resources necessary to build your home. And I want to pray, our hearts go out to every hurting couple in this room, every hurting person in this room. And I want to pray over you right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Lord, we pray first and foremost over every hurting person and every hurting marriage here in this room. Let your healing touch be on them. Lord, as they face their conflicts together, I pray they wouldn't give up. They'd stick with it. Lord, give us all the courage to stay with it until it's resolved. Matter of fact, every married couple in your own mind, just silently, would you just kind of pray this in your own heart? Just say, God, give me the power to change. Empower me to change. Help me to love my spouse and make our marriage strong. And I want to ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you just say, Mark, would you pray for me in this moment? Maybe it's for some of you, you just need a heart change, a heart transplant, so to speak, spiritually, where you'd say, I need Jesus to come into my life. I've sinned against him. I need to make things right. I've lived selfishly or self-centered in some way. Whatever it is, listen, today is the day that is it's a turning point for you. And if you'd say that, Mark, that's me, pray for me. Include me in this prayer. All I want you to do, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to slip up your hand, acknowledging by the uplifted hand, Mark, that's me, pray for me right now, all over this place. Yes, God bless you. In the balcony, in the main floor, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? There may be some of you, you'd say, Mark, this relates to my relationships. I've been selfish in relationships. It may not even be a marriage situation, but you're struggling in that and conflict resolution issues. Mark, pray for me. If that's you, lift up your hand all over this place. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Just honesty. It takes courage to be honest, but you can't change unless there's honesty. God bless you. Let's pray right now. I want us all to pray this prayer out loud, but especially you who lifted your hands. Can you say this with me? Everybody in this room, say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent for everything I've done wrong. I make you Lord. I make you Savior of every part of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. I choose to trust you with every area of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you take a moment and just celebrate those who are, come on, mature enough and growing in their relationship to make a decision? Come on, that takes a lot of courage. And I'm here to say this. Michelle and I are going to be here at the end of this service. We're going to remain down front. A lot of times we'll head out to the foyer to greet all of you, but especially those who are first-time guests. I'm going to dismiss my parents in lieu of us. If you'll head out the doors and head toward the back, and those who are joining with us for the first time, would you make sure to connect with them after this service? They'll be by our Connection Cafe. They want to give you a gift for hanging out with you today. And normally we would be out there to do that, but we just felt like it would be our heart's desire to stay here at the altar and pray with those who would like to pray for whatever reason it might be. But especially if it's connected to relationships, we're believing God with you. We're not perfect. We've already described that. But we're trying to grow every day in our relationship, in love with each other and with the Lord. And all we'll say is this, if after the service, if you just kind of kneel down at somewhere along these stairs, just kind of letting us know that that's an indication to us that you just want to pray. Maybe you want to do what we've done so many times as a couple. We renew our vows over and over again. We make a mistake. We do something wrong, do something stupid, whatever. And we just come to get back together and either pray together in some way or kind of renew our vows together. Maybe you want to do that. As we kind of shift gears in this next week into more of the parenting and even maybe even the single life, maybe this is your season, your opportunity to just say, you know what, I'm going to stay. We're going to stay in our seats. We're just going to pray and renew our vows. Or we're going to come down to the front and say, Lord, we're renewing our vows one more time. Whatever it is for you, we want it to be personal. We want it to be consistent. And we want your accountability with each other and with the Lord to be strong and with each other so we can have happy and healthy growing relationships. So with that in mind, I'm going to release you with this blessing. Don't forget this evening. Make mark on your calendars this evening to come back and to let us help you to deal with that conflict resolution and how to most importantly learn the art of forgiveness, letting God open your spirit to hear what he's saying. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you sense the presence of Almighty God that loves you with an everlasting love. And may you represent him in your home, in your marriage, in your family, with your kids, your grandkids, and even those in your neighborhood and your coworkers and your bosses. In every way, I bless you to be a blessing and to love our city like Jesus loves our city. I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you get anything out of today? I pray you did. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled day. Make sure to connect with somebody before you go. Make sure they feel at home. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with Dothan First at dothanfirstassembly.org or follow us on social media. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we'd love to have you join us next Sunday at 10 a.m.